Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
I'm Dorisha Freer.
And we're not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Dora, you know what? I've already made a mistake. I haven't set our podcast timer.
So Oh boy.
You're going to hear a beep in the background.
Beep.
There it is, listeners.
Okay.
We're timing ourselves.
We're timed.
Welcome. This is your first time at this rodeo.
We're happy to have you.
We are. Get on that horse. friendly reminder that you can find any products that we might talk about in any episode on our website, forever35podcast.com.
Not at gmail.com.
No, but I almost said it.
Wow.
I felt it.
Interesting.
Muscle memory.
And we also have merch now, which you can buy via our website. There's a merch link there, but you can also go directly to forever35merch.com. There's a lot of great products on there. A lot of great prods. I gotta say.
There are a lot of great prods. I need to do my first purchase. I still haven't done it yet.
I haven't either.
I need to think about like what I want.
I know.
That represents us. It's very, it's like, do I want to wear?
But like everything represents us.
I know. It's very strange.
You know what has been flying off the shelves? Reframe the narrative prods.
Well, I like it because it could be for anything.
Totally.
But also if you are a listener of the podcast and you saw someone wearing it, you might be like, huh.
Totally.
I wonder.
Yep.
A little like inside baseball there.
Yep. And also a reminder that our new executive produced podcast, Gee Thanks Just Bought It, launched a few weeks ago.
So much good info.
So much good info on there. Caroline Moss, who's the host, also has an amazing spreadsheet.
Yeah,
of all of
and
her
Instagram
recs and an amazing Instagram.
Yeah.
So head on over to her website, gthanksjustboughtit.com, or her Instagram, gthanksjustboughtitpod, and check it out if you haven't already.
Well, Dory, as we said before we started recording, this is the last episode of the year.
Yes.
I, of course, said it was the last episode of 2020, and you corrected me.
I was like, wait, what?
Here we are, the last episode of 2020.
You're really getting ahead of yourself, Spencer.
I'm excited. This is our final live episode of the year.
Yes.
Our second year of doing this podcast.
Yes.
It's also the end of a decade.
Yes.
Which that doesn't feel symbolic to me at all, but for some people, it's like a very big thing.
I know. I started noticing it when people were posting those pictures of like 2009 versus 2019, which I did not participate in. But I was like, oh, yeah, it's been 10 years.
10 long years.
10 long years. So, yeah, I mean, we'll be talking more about the coming year in our first episode of 2020.
There we go. But today we'll be reflecting on the past year.
We will be. And we also just want to let you all know that the last 2 weeks of the year, we will not be doing new episodes. We will be re-airing some of our favorite episodes from the past 2 years.
Oh my gosh. Again, long time.
Yeah.
Why are we doing that, Dory?
Because we are taking a break.
Yes.
We're going to spend some time with our families.
Celebrate these holidays.
Celebrate the holidays. Do some reflection, I'm sure.
Sleeping.
Sleeping. Yep.
Eating, and resting.
Avoid each other.
We are. We're not going to see each other for like 3 weeks.
I know. It's going to be tough.
I think it's good. Right?
Okay.
Oh, no, I don't mean
no,
that.
I'm kidding.
Like it's...
No, it is. It's healthy.
Well, then when I see you, I'm like, oh, my God.
I know.
It's very
exciting.
And it's
not like we don't text all day. But yes, we will not see each other in person.
It's a real codependent relationship at this point where at like 6 a.m. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, I broke a fingernail. I had to text Dory and our friend Danielle about it.
How is that fingernail?
Look, I don't know. I'm afraid. Listeners, I have a powdered at manicure and I somehow cracked one of the nails. And then it started bleeding through the crack, which made me think that I cracked my fingernail underneath.
Ow, 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 ow.
It hurt ow, and it's ow. Right in the middle and I'm just kind of freaked out.
When were you going to get these taken off?
Oh, like now.
Okay.
Like today.
Well, I think you should still do that.
Ooh, I'm scared.
But I think you should warn the person that...
I'll think about it.
Okay.
Also, I'm so addicted to powder dip.
I know. I know. It's addictive.
It's so great.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's been up with me. I had a powder dip disaster. I cracked it. My nail bled. And then, of course, instead of being like, make a doctor's appointment for my nail, I just text friends.
Yeah. Did anyone give you good advice?
No, but actually, both you and Danielle very kindly checked up on me many times about it.
I was very concerned.
There is something very jarring when your nail cracks in the middle and then blood seeps out.
Oh, God.
So, and you know what? Yeah. So, and listeners, I'm so sorry to make you wait a long time for an exciting update on this nail.
Maybe you can post it to Instagram.
Oh, God. I'm not on Instagram right now.
That's right.
I had to take a mental health break.
How's that going?
I will, you know, it's good. I can feel myself releasing mentally and getting a little bit more done and also just kind of calming down. But it is really hard. I mean, just the how quickly when I hold my phone, I go to these apps without thinking about
it
is very startling. Like when you can't actually open the app anymore and you're just like I have Instagram still on my phone, but I'm all logged out. So I click it and then it's like, boom. I haven't deleted it. Facebook is off my phone. And I also have a blocker set up so I can't on my computer and on my phone get on Twitter and Facebook for most of the day. I just needed to kind of recalibrate.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know,
I had taken it off my phone briefly, all of them off my phone. And then you were away and we launched our merch and I had to like post all this stuff on social media. And I was like, oh, I got to put the apps back on my phone to do this. And then I haven't taken them back off, but I'm trying to be on them less.
Well, and I honestly, and this, I said that strange. I honestly, and this again is maybe like a little bit too in the weeds of like doing this podcast, but it is very hard and frustrating to create content that's public like this and then not be on social media.
Well, and I actually saw an interesting thread about this on Twitter that said, you know, it's actually a real privilege to be able to say I'm taking myself off of social media.
Totally.
And to be able to be in a position where you don't have to be on social media is in itself a privilege for some of the reasons that you just raised. Like, you are in a position where you don't have to promote every single thing that you do. And, you know, you're not part of the freelance writing grind anymore, where you're constantly expected to like promote your work.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was like reflecting on that also.
Well, that is an interesting point of view, Dory.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you.
Can I tell you one more thing I did recently?
But of course.
I put together a list of mists.
A mist list.
A mist list.
If you will.
For a friend who was just missed curious. And I realized like I have a true obsession with mists.
So I need to hear more about this because I feel like you've been downplaying this a little bit. Like you've alluded to it. You've said you're into mists. You like doing them on planes. You carry mists around with you.
You're the one who introduced me to misting on a plane. That Cow de Lee beauty elixir is your fault.
I know.
And I say that with love.
I created a monster.
You did.
A mist monster. Never mind.
There's a monster in your mist. I prefer a toner when it is a mist. I don't like... This is how it all started. I got a toner by a brand called Lagom, L-A-G-O-M. Their Cellulose Mist Toner. many years ago, before this podcast.
Oh, okay.
Got it at Target. And I was
BP.
Like, yeah, BP. And I realized, like, this is how I like applying toner. Mm-hmm. And I love drenching my face in it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then it just, then I tried to switch back to like a toner that you either use your hands and splash on, or you use a cotton swab. And it, that just isn't me. It's just not who I am.
You just got to be you.
I have to be me. And I need a liquid that is a very fine mist.
Ah, okay.
Then in particular, there are certain mists I've tried that I will not recommend because they mist too hard for me.
Oh, so what is your favorite? What is Kate Spencer's favorite mist at the end of the day when all is said and done?
Okay.
So I need your number one mist.
If you're just looking for.
She's opening her computer.
If you're just looking, let me get the Google Doc out, Dory.
Oh, I'll Google Doc.
I made, yes, for this friend. I was like, listen, I just had to put it in a doc. My favorite, just like classic, is the Avene Thermal Spring Water.
Okay.
I just like it. It's hydrating. I find the actual physical product works really well. The bottle, mm-hmm. the spray. Mm-hmm. So if you just want, and the price point's good.
Okay.
Everyday mist, get that. Now, if you want to like kind of get into the mist world, there's this mist by this company called iSun. It's their Ormus mist. I think I've talked about it here before, possibly. It is made with like fresh Colorado spring water that they hike in to get.
Okay.
There's a crystal in the bottle. Uh-huh. It is very extra.
Uh-huh.
I love it. It smells amazing. It
smells like Colorado.
It smells like Rocky Mountain High. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just a beautiful mist. Like the first time I smelled it on my face was when I was getting a facial with Courtney Chisano. And I was like, what is that? I need it. She was like, it's a fun mist, you know, like, you know, everyday kind of spritzing. So look, if you want to, it's $36.
Okay.
You know, and I've used a full bottle and I'm getting another one. And then I also like H's for Love's pollen illuminating mist as my everyday toner. And that is a bit pricier, but I really like it. So there you go.
Wow.
I'm going to close my computer.
Okay.
I'm going to pass the mic to you. So you can talk because I've really hogged the first 10 minutes of this episode.
But I've been enjoying it, truly.
Just rattling on about my life, about mists. They just feel so good.
They do feel good. I was using the Caudalie grape water for a while.
I like that one too.
And then I ran out and I haven't bought it again. But I'm thinking about buying it again.
I think I have a small Avene bottle somewhere for you that I brought back from Canada.
Oh.
I have to find it.
I'd like to try it.
I feel like you might switch over to the Avene.
Oh, okay.
But the Beauty Elixir.
Can you get it in the US?
I think so. I was Googling because I need more. I think you can. I will look for you.
Thank you.
And I also will say that for a plane, there's no better mist than the Beauty Elixir by Caudalie.
Yes.
The smell is so refreshing.
Yes.
And now I missed my kids when we're on planes. Like they now know that that's what we do.
Oh,
I spray them down.
That's so cute.
All right. Dory, look, sorry for rattling on. You have exciting news to share.
Well, it's semi-exciting. I turned in a chunk of my book.
Yes, you did.
It's not as much as I wanted to turn in.
That's okay.
But I turned in a chunk.
Get that chunk off your chest.
The chunk is off my chest, but now I need to like write more chunks. Ew. Sounds gross.
A little bit, but I also kind of like it.
Yeah, so it felt good to send that off. But it's also like, okay, now I need to finish the rest, which is a little like,
What have you felt like has been a helpful tool in terms of like deadline setting or your writing process in getting this done? Because it is something you just have to chip away at.
Yeah.
Have you implemented anything or do you have scheduled writing times or is it just like a fly by the seat of your pants experience?
Until very recently, it's been a little bit fly by the seat of my pants because I felt like I was still in this like postpartum breastfeeding, pumping whole situation. And like mentally, I was not all there. And I didn't realize how much that was going to really affect me and my work.
Yeah.
And now that I've been pump free for 2 weeks, my boobs feel normal.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. I have like mental clarity.
Yeah.
And yeah. I have actual time back. It's wild.
I mean, this is why we all must advocate for extended parental leave.
Yes, everybody. I think there should be extended parental leave.
Yeah, because you.
I'm
just
also like, what was I thinking? Thinking that I could write a whole book in the 6 months after I gave birth. What is wrong with me?
Well, but you can't know what that is going to be like.
No.
So it's hard to, because I remember,
I also had people in my ear who I had other writers in my ear being like, I wrote my whole book when my son, like in the first 3 months of my son's life. And I was like, oh, well, she could do it. And then I was like a mess. I could barely do our podcast.
I mean, I do remember you being like, I'll be fine after 3 weeks of giving birth to record.
And you were like,
and I was, no, it's just like, because you might be,
yeah.
You know, that's the other thing is like, everyone is so different and
totally
what people's needs and like,
totally.
So you can't, I always find it, you know, like you can't know.
Right.
But you figured it out and you did it. That's a big accomplishment to do all that.
But it was really helpful. A couple of weeks ago, I gave some of the essays in the book to some women I know, including you, Kate Spencer.
It's really fun to read. It's really good.
And that was really helpful just to like have other eyes on the stuff. Your edits in particular were very helpful.
I was very giddy.
Just gonna say
that. Nice.
So that was really helpful and helped me just kind of like pull it together to revise these to a point where I was like, okay, I feel okay about sending these out. And then I was debating sending her some incomplete stuff. And then I decided, you know what? I'm only going to send her finished essays and I'll send her, 'cause I have probably five other essays that are in various stages. Like some of them are really close to being done. Some of them are like barely an outline. And I need to just like work on those.
I'm really excited for people to read it because I feel like it reveals so much of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's new. What am I trying to say? It's a different side of you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really like pumped for people to read it.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I've said before on this podcast, I do feel like I've led many lives. I've lived many lives.
Yes.
And so, and not in the like Shirley MacLaine past life sort of way. So it's interesting to have someone who I've become friends with more recently,
yeah,
kind of read this stuff.
I didn't know you through most of this.
No.
There's a whole other Dory out there.
Whole other Dory. Real sliding doors situation.
Sliding Dories?
That will be the title of the book.
Wait, honestly, that's a great pun for something.
It is.
Sliding Dories?
Sliding Dories.
I love it.
Oh,
you
got to
use it for something.
I do. I really do. So the other thing that's been going on is that Henry is going through some really intense developmental leaps.
That's real cute.
It's really cute, but it's also like a lot. And I'm just trying to sort of meet him where he is and let him figure things out. But also kind of, I'm trying to be more flexible because I'm very like, okay, this is his schedule. Like we don't deviate from it. And this morning I just like went and got him because I was like, he's struggling. And then, you know, I think this is I'm sure you can relate to this, but like the thing with motherhood being like, oh my God, one day he was off his schedule. This is it. It's over. Like his schedule's done, you know? And being like, well, okay, maybe that's not going to be the case. Like maybe he's just going through a rough period and like this period will end.
Yes. It's also weird because their bodies develop so much that like they change, like their needs change.
Yes, totally.
And they go through all sorts of different things. Like one of my kids at like age 4 or 5 was going through a thing where she was waking up, I think 5, at like midnight every night. And then at 2 a.m., like just having dreams. Like, and I was like, we're doing this at 5 years old. Like just these things pop up where it's like, what?
Yeah, totally.
And it's like, no, I'm not ready. I'm not in the mood.
Yeah.
But you just have to be in. Yeah. So that weird, like following their lead,
totally,
It's an interesting exercise in relinquishing control.
Yes. As parenthood has been in the 7.5 months I've been doing it.
Well, and in the many years you were doing IVF too, I think.
Totally. So that's where we are.
Well, he's real cute.
Well, thank you, Kate.
I do just love staring at him.
Oh, well, he loves you.
My little friend.
He is your little friend.
All right, Dory.
Yes.
Break time?
Let's take a short break.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift. All while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
Well, we're back.
Oh, we are.
We sure are. And as promised, we are going to reflect on our year. What a year it was.
2019.
Yes.
It's weird it's done.
It is weird it's done.
It all goes by so fast.
Yeah. And I feel like this year, the end of the year went by especially fast because Thanksgiving was later than it usually is. So the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas feels like compressed.
And Hanukkah is at the end of December this year, too.
End of December this year, too. Yes.
Yeah, so, it's weird.
Yeah.
Well, what did we learn this year, Dory? I mean, you had a baby.
I had a baby.
Like, that's the biggest thing.
That was the big thing of the year. Yeah, I mean, that completely changed my life. Like, completely. In so many ways. Yeah, I feel like so much of all of my 2019 revolved around like being pregnant, then giving birth, then like recovering from giving birth, having a baby, kind of watching him develop, just like dealing with everything that comes with having a baby. And now I feel like I'm sort of like settling into my identity as a mom.
Ooh.
I know that got deep real fast.
What is it?
It's more just like I identify as a mom now.
See. Got it.
Not like I'm this kind of mom. I'm a cool mom. But like I'm a mom.
Yeah. It's weird, right?
Yeah. Like, which like doesn't happen immediately. Mm. And definitely took me a while. And I've talked about this. I think I talked about this on this podcast, but I definitely talked about it on the podcast that I do with my husband that like I didn't feel like super bonded with Henry right away. Mm. It probably wasn't till he was about a month or so old that I was like, oh, you're my baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I think that was in part because I was still like physically recovering from having a C-section. And, you know, those first few weeks of having a newborn are so difficult. And we were struggling with feeding him. And it was just like, it was a lot. And then, yeah, and then I just kind of like, I started baby wearing him, and that was like very bonding. Anyway, I'm getting like way off track, but I do think it's like a nice, as I mentioned in the beginning, it's like a nice way to end the year that I'm not breastfeeding anymore.
Yeah, because you're moving into a new transition.
Yes.
A new transit, new period.
A new period. I'm transitioning into a new period.
Thank you. There we go.
Yeah. And so that feels really good.
Well, what's interesting too, and just like looking at your list of just kind of like year 2019 is so much of just the things that you noted are tangentially related to giving birth, having a kid.
Course.
Like you talked about your postpartum hair loss. Like that was a big thing you kind of were thinking about a lot, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got highlights, which looks so good.
And I got highlights. Because I wanted to like do something nice for myself. And, you know, something else that I struggled with that you helped me with was buying new clothes.
Well, hello.
And when you just said just buy clothes that fit.
Yeah, that you like.
That you like. And that really was a game changer because I finally got clothes that fit and took clothes out of my closet that didn't fit. And that was really powerful and felt really good.
Good.
And like now I'm just sort of sick of my clothes, but I don't feel like bad about myself when I look in my closet.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a very complicated relationship
we
have to our bodies.
I mean, you went on a real journey this year with your body.
I did. I'm still in it. I was really yakking it up at therapy last week about it. but it's been a process. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in continuing to kind of explore my relationship to like my self-esteem and my self-worth and my body image and my participation in diet culture.
Yeah, so
beauty culture. I mean, I just, it goes on and on.
Yeah.
It's been very interesting. I don't feel like I've resolved anything. I feel like I've learned a lot about myself.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it's something I'm exploring.
But do you think it's something that you can really get a resolution for?
No, but I feel like I had this expectation that like one day I would be like, I did it. I love myself now.
Right.
And like, I'm really at peace.
Yeah.
And I don't have that. And I think that's also like, probably not attainable for many people.
Right.
If it is, awesome. Like, that's great.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like entrenched, like the way I feel about myself, like relates back to like my fourth grade teacher.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just so many layers of things.
There's so many layers. Shape us. And I think once you start excavating, you know, when you uncover one layer, you have a layer that you didn't even know existed.
Yes.
And that's really hard.
And it's weird because pain and grief, like as your life progresses and you experience, you have new things that happen, it then can connect back to these old experiences in ways that you didn't quite expect. And so that's also wild. So, you know.
Do you feel like it's changed your relationship with friends or loved ones?
I've had to set some boundaries that I don't think people know about, like for myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Well, I don't know. It's more like I've had to re-examine. How do I say this? I've had to work on ways to be comfortable in situations that normally might like trigger me.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like going out to dinner or
something? Yes. Okay. Or like being with people who all prescribe to a certain dietary lifestyle.
Got it. Yes.
And not letting that affect how I feel about myself and my choices.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
So it's not like anyone's done anything wrong. It's more like I have to understand that like the way everyone else chooses to live their life is, you know, dietarily, is that a word? That I can make my own choices.
Yeah.
That are still good.
That's
and
really
fine.
Powerful.
And taking away a lot of the language around food that I was using. Clean, you know, all that stuff. I don't know, but it's a freaking work in progress.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've both been working on this stuff for a long time.
Yeah. And I don't know if it ever goes, I don't know if it ever goes away.
No, but I do think it changes. Like, I definitely feel like I've grown in terms of how I assign value, how I used to assign value to food. Like there were good foods and bad foods, and moving away from that and moving away from food as a reward for things.
Oh, totally.
You know, just like all these things that I didn't even realize I did.
Yeah.
You know, but just were so internalized as normal that I didn't really examine them until I was forced to.
Well, there's also, I have found, a challenge in participating in conversations. Like, I have now had to actively choose to either not participate or kind of like gently call in people when they're like, oh my God, I'm so disgusting. I just ate all this dot, dot, dot. You know, like or like, oh, it's the holidays, so I've got to exercise. Like, all that language is so pervasive. And I used to participate in it almost just like out of like, well, I don't know, this is what we talk about, like, ha ha ha, yes, me too, I'm also this, or I'm also that, or it's also so bad. And like, I don't think people even realize half the time that it's coming out of their mouths. It's
no.
just how we've all culturally been
I think
trained
most
to
of
speak.
The time they don't realize
no.
it. I've had to call in, as you put it, my parents about this stuff.
Mm.
And that's really hard.
Because they have a certain language around
and,
a belief system.
They're old. Like, they've been living this way forever. And they don't really get it. And it's just so ingrained that I don't think they will ever truly change. But at least we can highlight to them when they say things that are problematic. And I think a lot of people go through this with their parents.
Well, yes. And also generationally, I mean, I think, I don't know what their background, your parents' background was, but like people who are not, don't have access to food, like that has that shapes your relationship to food. That's not something I've experienced. I've always had access to food. It's never been in question, but like, you know, and I know my dad did, but he grew up with parents who, you know, came up in depression, like different, you know, there's, so it just all influences everybody's relationships to food. And I think it's very tricky. Well, we talked about food a lot this year on the show.
We did. But there's something else that you wrote on your list that made me chuckle. And I want to talk about it, which is that you finally stopped trying to use paper planners.
Oh, God. Fuck paper planners.
Because I do feel like the first, at least the first few months, if not the first like year of our podcast, you were always
buying like paper planners.
Every few episodes, you'd be like, I've found it.
Dory.
The paper planner that I, to end all paper planners, this is the one. And then like 2 weeks later, you'd be like, yeah, I'm not using it
and
anymore.
And how much money did I spend on these freaking planners?
What do you think it was that like made you so, you were so like focused on finding the perfect paper planner.
What is wrong what do you, with me? I mean, part no, of it
what
is
what do you
I
think
have,
that was about?
I mean, part of it is I have obsessive compulsive disorder.
Okay.
And I do think I develop, I mean, it all goes hand in hand where I become compulsive about certain things.
Okay.
I mean, that's, I'm sure there's a mental health aspect to this.
Sure.
But I think I thought if I just found the right planner,
yeah,
my life would be organized.
Now, if that's not a metaphor for something.
Something. Who knows what it is. But I think, and you and I think both have gotten, like we were trying to bullet journal. Again, this does work beautifully for some people, but it was not working for me. And then it just became another thing I had to do.
It's stressful.
Yes. And I really realized like I need to be planning digitally. Mm-hmm. Part of that is because I'm in my computer. I'm in my email for work and for my personal life. My husband and I, that's how we kind of stay on top of our, like, I can't keep a paper planner. Like, I have all my stuff in Google Calendar and he sees all of it. I see all of his stuff.
Yeah.
So we can really coordinate.
Yeah.
It just, it was like the paper planner was not efficient.
Yeah.
And in fact, like I even tried it again for keeping lists and tasks, and that was not, I couldn't do it. I lasted a day. I really think that for me, as much as I'm trying to cut off my digital addiction, that is where I need to be planning my life.
Yeah.
And it has worked. I'm much more effective. I meal plan in Google Docs. Mm-hmm. I use Google Calendar, Google Tasks right now. That's been, you know, and I have my email that's been helping me stay on top of things. I don't know. I mean, did you... Like didn't we both try the Erin Condren planner at one point?
Yes. I used it for like a day.
Yeah. I lasted like maybe a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then I got something I think called the Happy Planner.
I also got a planner from a company called Best Self.
Right.
And, but that was at the beginning of last year.
And that also didn't last.
No, sorry. That was at the beginning of 2019.
Okay.
That also, or the end of 2018. That also didn't last. I think I got swept up in the allure of the paper planner, kind of what you were saying. Like, I think for me, it was both like my life will be more organized, but I also wanted to be a person who uses a paper planner.
Oh, totally.
Like I wanted to be that. I want to live that paper planner life.
It's very aspirational.
It's very aspirational. And like I bought new markers and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not that person.
I almost wonder, like with these planners, it's similar to like when someone signs up for a gym membership and then they don't use it for a year and then they've just spent all this money on this thing. To me, that's kind of what paper planners are like. Like you spend 80, like some of these planners are very expensive.
Yeah.
And I know you just need paper and a pen, but like you get swept up in the like, here's what I'm going to do. And you spend all this, like how many people who buy planners actually consistently then use them for the whole year? And how many of us use them for 3 weeks and then they just like collect dust?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good question. But I also think that there is a movement among people who are younger than us who are very into paper planners, in part, I think, because it is seen as a reaction against this digital culture.
Which I support. I think that's great.
I support it too. And also the aesthetics of it, I think they're very into. And there, you know, there are people who basically collect paper planners and have multiple paper planners. I just can't, I'm just not that person. But I will say, like, I still scribble stuff down on a notepad next to my bed every night.
See, that works for you.
Yeah. Not every night, but like most nights I'll be like, oh yeah, I need to remember to do X, Y, Z. And I'll just write it down like this. I just wave.
You just wave your hand. Maria's just scratching the air.
But it's not a planner. And when I tried to do that in a planner, it didn't work.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I laughed when I
just finally feel like I'm not buying paper planners in 2020.
Yes.
I'm done. It did not work for me. I admire and respect so much the people who it works for. This, I'm not trying to rag on Erin Condren or any of these planners. Course. They're all beautiful.
Their planners are beautiful and people love them.
Yeah. It just, I think also aging to me is understanding what does work for me and what doesn't.
Yes.
And like this was a hard, I'm such a, in addition to being a people pleaser, like a little, not a follower, but like it's taken me a while to understand that like everybody has their own journey through every single thing in life. Yes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Snaps to that.
Snaps Kate. To that. Dory, you're still reading before bed.
I am.
That's amazing that you kept that up through early parenthood.
Well, in early parenthood, I was actually reading a ton because I would read when I was breastfeeding and pumping. And so I just like devoured a ton of books. And now that I'm not doing it, I'm still reading before bed.
What a practice you have kept up.
Yeah, I do really like it. And it kind of like lulls me into sleep.
Sure. It's gotta be soothing.
Nice. You know, I had been reading mostly ebooks and I'm now reading a paper book. I'm reading the Get a Life, Chloe Brown.
I loved that book.
Yeah, it's really sweet. And the publisher sent us copies of that book. And I was like, you know what? I should just read this book. Especially because I usually go to bed before Matt anyway. So it's not like I do have a reading light.
Right, but you can keep the light on.
I can keep the light on. So I have been reading before bed. Let's talk about your bougie face cream.
That was a journey.
This, I think, I mean, it's funny that you just said that you like you sort of see yourself as a follower, because I do feel like this was a thing where you were like, ooh, I see this thing and I want to try it.
Yeah.
And you did. And then you were like, this isn't that great.
And you know what? I was like reading another like celebrity, like things I love thing. And the celebrity was like Agustinus batter cream.
Butter.
I'll never get it right. They loved it and they're like, it's very pricey, but it works. And I was like, I don't, it did not work for me.
But everyone is on their own journey.
That's right. And, you know, I've really been enjoying my Paula's Choice.
Yeah.
I've been using that moisturizer that they sent us. Thank you, PC.
Which one are you using?
It's the nightly one, but I've been using it in the morning too.
Oh, nice. It's very rich.
I love it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm getting more zits. I've noticed. So a year ago, I went off my IUD.
Okay.
I had a cervical polyp. I had a whole thing. I don't even remember if I talked about it here. I
don't think you did.
I had a fun mini medical thing. Anyway, I took that IUD out and I have noticed my periods, and it was not the hormonal one. It was the whatever, copper one.
Okay.
But I still have noticed different, my menstrual cycle is different now that I don't have the IUD in, and I get zits right before I get my period.
Mm.
And it's actually, at first it annoyed me. Like I have one right now, and they're all on like my chin and my neck.
Uh-huh.
But now they're almost like little alarm clocks letting me know that my period's coming. And I'm like, you know, thank you, body.
Totally.
Everything has its purpose, yes. Including these pimples.
Yes.
So I know, like I also track my menstrual cycle, but you know, I got this zit on my chin and I was like, oh yeah, you're right, zit. It is about time. My cycle is coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, trying to appreciate every little zit on my face. But yeah, I did, you know, I did get excited about the bougie cream because I think it's the same thing. It's like the promise of like,
yes,
this'll just be the thing.
This'll be the thing. But now you're doing the actual work.
On my face?
No, on your soul.
That's right. But I still want my freaking skin to look good.
Your skin does look
good. I know. It, I love it. Well, and I will say, Dory, can I shout out an advertiser here?
Yes.
Look, Il Makiage sent us this foundation. And I don't normally like, I don't ever really wear makeup just because I don't have the energy to put it on. But there, I woke up like this foundation. I have been putting it on like it's, just for the day.
It's very good.
I really like it.
It's very good.
So that's been very exciting. Yeah. Like I got it and I was like, I'll just pop a little bit of this.
Their ads are starting to run next week.
Well, so stay tuned, listeners. I have really enjoyed like a day, like just like, today's a regular day. Why don't I just dab a little of this foundation on?
Oh, look at you.
So, you know. I have one more thing off your list of 2019
yes.
self-care moments that I want to bring up, which you made mom friends, which you say yes. was a source of anxiety for you.
It was such a source of anxiety for me. I think it was all also wrapped up in feeling like I'd never really found my people in LA.
Mm. Well, and haven't you also said like, in terms of friendships, like you have always had lots of different
yes,
groups.
Like in, yeah, lots of different people. Groups and individual people. And so I was nervous about this becoming a mom because I was going to have to make new friends. And it's weird. I feel like I'm initially like a little shy when I meet new people.
I see that. Sure.
And it takes me a little while to like really kind of figure people out and feel comfortable around them. And I feel awkward, like introducing myself to people. And I'm trying to get better at that. I'm trying to just be like, hey, I'm Dory. Like, you know, nice to meet you, which sounds so simple
and
dumb.
I struggle with this so deeply. I just stand there in silence.
Yes, me too. And then like half an hour will go by. And I'm like, oh, I still don't know this person's name. And like, they haven't introduced themselves to me. So like, it's also kind of on them. But like,
no, I get it.
You know what I mean? Yes. And so now I'm just trying to sort of like head that off and be like, hi. But I also, you know, making new friends as an adult is like so hard and so stressful. And, you know, I just started feeling like, this is just going to bring all my anxiety, my social anxieties to the fore. And it did for a little while. And then, and also the first Mommy and Me class I took, I felt like I didn't really connect with the women in it and it felt clicky. But then after the class ended, I've been hanging out with some of the women from that class and we've become good friends like since that class. Mm. So that was interesting. And then I'm in a different Mommy and Me class and I've become good friends with some of the people in that class too.
That's so great.
And that's really nice because all our kids are like within, you know, a month of each other. So that's been really good.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Making friends. Highlighting hair.
Yep, I'm a new person.
The Dory Shafrir story.
Except I'm still myself.
Sliding Dory.
All right. Well, Kate,
I think we can wrap it up.
I think we can. It was quite a year.
It was wild. I cannot believe it's done.
I know.
Don't you feel like it just started?
Yeah.
I also think of years now in terms of the podcast in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Like the same. Mm-hmm. Like I keep track of the year and like I'm like, didn't we? Like we interviewed Samin Nosrat a year ago almost.
Yeah.
And that like that. So I just like keep time by looking at our guests and yep. It just is like, what?
I know.
This flew by.
Well, I'm excited for 2020.
I know. We're going to talk about that.
In 2020,
which let me clarify, even though I was confused earlier, has not happened yet
at the time
of this recording.
Correct.
Well, let's take a little break.
Okay, let's do that.
We'll be back. It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Oh. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You know what's also kind of wild to think about, Dory?
What?
That we've done like a 100 intentions.
Intentions?
Intentions. Which Dory has now fully adopted.
I have.
We've done over 100 of these.
Yeah.
Again, I think about time now in the context of this podcast.
Yeah.
We've set a lot of intentions.
We have. And like, I think we've done a lot of them too.
We have, though, I will shall say this week, didn't do mine.
That's okay.
Drop the ball.
Yeah. All right.
Just okay. So, listen, this I had said I was going to recommit to a gratitude practice.
And you didn't.
No, I didn't at all.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Do you want to? Or do you think you're just sort of like, meh?
You know what I actually think it is? I think I am now better at reflecting on the things I'm grateful for as just kind of an ongoing practice.
Ooh, yeah. I can
that I
see that.
Don't feel like I need to be constantly tracking it. Now, look, Oprah keeps a gratitude journal daily still. So it's not like I should be blowing this off. It is something that I really value. But I just didn't feel the like urgent need to do it.
Yeah.
That being said, I think it would help me kind of slow down and like have some perspective at the end of the day. So I'm going to keep thinking about getting my butt back in gear on that.
Okay.
One. Yeah. Anyway. I'm trying.
And what's going on this week?
Well, as I think I've mentioned to you, I have tennis elbow.
Yeah.
It is incredibly uncomfortable.
Oy.
I probably need to go back to the doctor, but I need to just do things. I need to like make it a priority to really like be icing my elbow and taking some Advil and trying to make it get better. It's bizarre. I cannot like pick up a water bottle. It hurts so much.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it really hurts. And again, I don't know what caused it. I think it's just like, you know, my aging tendon. So I need to really like when I've noticed like when I ice it or if I was swimming, that was making it feel better.
Oh,
so
good.
Like, yeah. Okay. So I need to and like stretching. So I just need to like
really.
Yeah.
Can you go to physical therapy?
The doctor did not recommend it.
Oh, interesting.
Or not, the doctor I saw didn't like refer me to physical therapy. It wasn't okay. Like he dissuaded
Yeah, or discouraged.
Thank you, Dory. Mm-hmm. It's not like he discouraged me from going. So I might revisit that and see if I can kind of figure out a way to make it feel better.
Okay.
Anyway, how about you?
Well, my intention last week was to turn in my damn manuscript.
And you did.
And I like pretty much did.
You chunked.
I chunked. Ew, sorry. I chonked. How about that?
Nope.
No?
Nope. Still, okay. I mean, you can chonk.
Okay.
Chonk or chonked. You did it though.
I did. So I did that. And then, you know, we're traveling over the holidays. And as discussed many times on this podcast, especially now with Henry, travel is a little more stressful. And so I'm trying to, once again, just try to go with the flow and not put too much pressure or anxiety on this trip. And also, we're going to New York where, you know, I know a lot of people, but I do think a lot of people are going to be away.
Mm.
But it's always like a little stressful kind of trying to see everyone.
Of course.
And so, you know, I just want to kind of like be realistic about what we can actually do, especially with Henry.
And you've got this whole thing you were talking about earlier of like the attachment to the quote unquote schedule.
Yes.
And that's going to change traveling.
Change totally.
Jet lag.
Right. And we're just going to have to kind of roll with it, which I'm not the best at. You may be shocked to learn.
What?
I know. It's weird.
I feel like you have worked though on like your ability to be flexible and to just kind of take things in stride, I think.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, thank you for being here for this year.
Yeah, thank you for this year. It was great to share it with all of you.
It really was. We are hashtag blessed. And
we are.
I hate that hashtag. But I genuinely mean it.
Yeah, I'm also hashtag grateful.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'll start that gratitude practice again. Well, look, please call us while we're on break. We love hearing from you.
We do.
Tell us what you're up to. You can also, like, if you're hiding from your family.
Yeah, just leave us a VM.
Go in the bathroom and call us.
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on. That voicemail number is 781-591-0390, or you can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And we are going to be on vacation, but our Facebook group will not. So, you know, if you want to get your Forever 35 fix, head over there, facebook.com/group/Forever35podcast. Password is serums. I believe there are more than 100 spinoffs at this point.
I just joined Forever 35 Los Angeles.
I need to join.
I kept getting word that there were these Forever 35 meetups happening in Los Angeles and being like, what?
Yeah.
And then I realized I wasn't in the group.
Yeah.
But now I am. So look out for me. I'll be showing up. Going to be real awkward when I roll in. If you like the show, it really helps us when you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, when you tell a friend and mention us on social media. We love it all.
And again, just a reminder that all prods mentioned are always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast, on Twitter at forever35pod. And our merch is available at forever35merch.com.
And Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio.
And we'll talk to you all next year.
Happy New Year.
Bye.